there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
And here we go again. It's the Two Cool Moms doing doop boop boop.
That was the new theme song I made up.
Will you please make that our theme song from now on?
Thank you for listening to Two Cool Moms.
Can you repeat that again?
This is the Two Cool Moms. It's a podcast. I don't know what I said.
Please keep that. If somebody out there is musically gifted, could you drop like just a few chords to that and loop it and please make a song?
Send it in.
Oh my God.
Welcome to Two Cool Moms. I am Joe Gatto.
Hi, I'm Steve Byrne.
And we are here to solve the world's issues.
Yes.
One listener at a time.
We're here for you.
Yes. As cool moms are normally.
We want to be here for you. But honestly, thank you guys so much for all the questions, but also the questions we've answered. There's always been some kind responses.
For sure.
That we really appreciate. So
we do. It sounds like we're
doing okay.
I think we're doing all right.
Yeah. No complaints yet.
None yet. No, well, there were. We just delete those. What do we? Have you ever brought a dilemma to your mother that she helped you solve? Like, when I ask you that, does something come to mind?
My mom is just she. So this is my mom. Okay.
Okay.
The last time she was at my house, she goes. She goes, you look tired. I go, I am tired. She goes, okay. And then she just looked at me and went like this.
Poke in the belly.
Poke my belly.
Came on. You're putting on a little LBs.
And then she walked away. She went.
And now you've lost weight. So I guess you solved your dilemma of being a disgusting monster. Thanks, Mom.
I mean, that is crazy to do that. The comfortability to go up to somebody and just go.
I mean, she made you. I mean,
yeah. I guess she's not happy with what she made.
You're a reflection of her work. She's like, ugh. She's like, look what I made.
You never really think of it that way. That's so true, though.
Yeah.
Like a woman birthed you, and then she's like, please keep it together.
Yeah. Did you think like, oh, I don't want an ugly baby when you had your kids, and like, oh, I hope my kids are cute, right? Like everybody thinks that.
Of course.
And then everybody thinks that their babies is cute.
Oh,
but
my
we
God.
All know that there's ugly babies.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder how much the awareness is. Like I know undeniably my children are adorable.
Yeah.
And yours as well. We've hit the jackpot, luckily. Yeah. But there are some out there that just aren't cute babies. And I wonder the disappointment factor those parents have to have. Right? Have you? You know what's hard too is like because I am so like,
if the baby comes out. You're like, can you just put it back in? Maybe it needs to be in the oven a little bit longer.
Every baby that comes out is disgusting. Like not right away.
Oh,
you know,
of course.
Q has the best line ever. He says every baby looks like a little Winston Churchill. But like they do look like a shrinky dink. You know, they're like terrible.
Yeah.
But like as they grow up and like they get to that stage where they should be getting cute. Like I remember when my daughter was like, "Come on, baby, get cute." You can do it.
But I'm sure your kids, because you're right. You have, I think there's like an innate bias, right? Where you're just like, oh, that's my kid. And you know,
of course,
but I've seen,
there's some undeniably like, not,
there's some really cute babies.
Yeah,
I've seen like babies. Like I just saw somebody show me a picture of their baby. I'm like, oh my God, that's a
perfect little angel.
But yeah, I mean, you're like,
yeah. You know what gets what throws off the mathematics for me on it is when they have a huge nose. Like you see some babies with a straight up Jimmy Durante hanging off their face.
Hello, my baby. Hello. Yeah.
They got a toucan going on.
Oh.
That's hard to come back from. You have to wait till they get a bigger face.
Yeah,
they grow into their nose for most people.
You hope so.
I did very well.
When you see an ugly baby, just like, hey. You got 10 fingers and 10 toes.
That's all.
That's it.
If that's
healthy, healthy, there we go.
That's the first compliment that people give you when you show your baby, like, how many fingers and toes does it have? Good work.
That's it.
That's all you can ask for. Yeah, I mean, because I worked in the baby business.
That's right, yeah.
And I had seen some real clunkers. But I'm a salesman, right? So every baby was gorgeous.
And this crib comes with like a little sheet so you can pull it down so you don't scare anybody.
This hoodie is reversible so you can put the hood over their face. there was some real straight up flat tires out there, baby. And I was like, I had to battle through it. I was like, they're like, doesn't my baby look cute in this outfit? I'm like, absolutely it does. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, the good thing about this carrier, you can hold the baby backwards so people don't have to see it out of the world. They can face you for
but
comfort.
It's almost like you want to be, you know, right?
Yeah, I know.
You have to know.
People have to know, though, right?
Yeah.
You think people do.
Or like the repeated, like, this is my baby. And the constant looks of like, yeah.
It's a baby. It's a baby.
For sure, it's a baby.
Yeah, but you know where I really, really, really felt bad?
Yeah.
Was in the store, like the door opens, ding, ding, and they come into the store, and a woman walks in with the little baby with the white bow and everything. It's like, oh, everybody's losing their shit. And then, oh, look how cute this baby. Ding, ding, ding. Can we help you? Like the next person who's had this ugly baby, it's like, yeah, what do you need? Do you need lotion? What do you need? Diaper cream? Like it says, no big hurrah. You know? There's no parade of fanfare. It's just, here's you and your monster baby.
So you're looking for a basket and directions to the church. Is that correct?
Is that what we're looking for?
You just leave it there, yeah.
The closest river. Let me Google map it for you. Does that you could send it down in a basket like Moses.
We're here too. We got it.
Guys, maybe they didn't see me come in. No, we saw you. It's true, though, right? It's true. I wonder how people think about it.
Just that poor other couple.
What's wrong with our baby?
Everything. All of you get out and drive off a cliff.
You are hurting our numbers here with two babies. Yeah, it feels bad. You know what it feels, you know, too, is like, I always think about this, too. Like, when you write casting calls, and there's people who want, like, a not pretty baby, or not, you know, like, you're like, in the description is, like, unattractive or whatever. Like, people have to go to a casting call and be like, hi. Like, I'm a hot mess. I want to be an actor. You know what I mean? Like, I feel bad.
When I did my film, okay, we there were roles that, like, asked for people to be, like, you know, like you were describing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and so then when we were getting ready to release the film, there were, like, two individuals that said, I don't want to be considered like an extra. I want a name in the title on the scroll. And I was like, you don't even say anything. You're just there, and you're there to be like part of, like, the one girl's kind of like overweight, and Jimmy thinks she's pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. So he says something, right. Oh, when's the baby? She's like, what are you talking about? He's like, uh-oh.
Right.
So it's like one of those things. And so I'm like, do we do this? And it was like, I guess we could. And I was like, well, I guess so. But I was kind of like a little steamed, like you're just like an extra still. And so I was like, all right, we'll call her Taffy. And that was like my revenge. It's like, all right, you want a credit? Then you're going to be known as Taffy.
You are Taffy. Amazing.
I was thinking of the worst name for a girl I could think of. And Taffy's, to me, is horrendous.
In my short film, I had to, there's three girls who show up in the dream. There's the main girl, there's the second girl, right? And then the third girl's just the other girl, right? So I had to write the credit. I had to credit them. And I was like, and I wrote the credits, and I was like, other girl. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. Because they don't have names in the short, you know? And I was like, oh, I can't name her other girl. Like, I had to think of something else. So
Spirit
I was like,
number three. Yeah,
you got to throw a number. Like, the number three in it. Like, I always wanted to be credited as a fat guy number two. Like, I always, that's what I'm living for. I want to get, like, an Avengers movie. I want to have one line that I'm like, oh, my goodness, watch out. And like, you know, something like that. I want to be credited as fat guy number two.
Right.
Even if there's not a fat guy number one. Like, I want to be fat guy number two.
Yeah, go right to it.
Right to it. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. Like, it did take me a while. I also had this thing, and I like to dispel this myth to people all the time, that as soon as your baby comes out, you're going to fall in love. Like, I didn't right away.
You for real?
Yeah, for real. I think we talked about this too, but
you're not the first guy that said that. I've had another friend or two recently that I've had a conversation with, and he said when his first daughter was born, he didn't feel anything.
Right.
And he said it took him a while to feel that. And I was like, wow. The minute it happened for me, I was instantly.
You're in there.
Both. In there.
I do feel that way about when I meet dogs, though, which is interesting, because I feel like a lot of my rescues have picked me.
Really?
When I did, like, it was really just like when I got Spumoni, who was totally 100% mine. Like, I was on the road in Vegas, and I was sitting down and getting interviewed by this company called Love Pup, and they have a brilliant model where they take dogs that are adoptable to events and have celebrities put them on their social media. So the viewership of these animals that are available is huge. And you can do hashtag Love Pup, and they can find these dogs where you can find them, blah, blah, blah. So I'm sitting there getting interviewed by, and there's a bunch of puppies walking around. There's 10 or 15 in the room. And then here comes little Spumoni, 4 weeks old, 5 weeks old, comes over, just curls up right in my lap as I'm talking.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I'm taking this one. And the guy was like, no, that's not how it works. And then Q was with me. He goes, no, that's how it works if you're Joe Gatto. And I went, I called up, I was in Vegas.
Yeah.
We were flying out to Phoenix the next morning, 7 a.m. It was 6 p.m. at night. Our show was at 8. I called up the local Petco. And I said, hey, do you guys deliver? And they're like, no. I'm like, do you know Impractical Jokers? I'm Joe Gatto. And they're like, oh my God, I love that show. I'm like, I need you to do me a solid. I'm adopting this dog. Could you do me a favor? Put together everything I need to take it with me to Phoenix tomorrow morning.
Holy
and they went
cow.
And they dropped it at the MGM for
no
me.
Way.
And because of that fan is why I have one of my favorite dogs. And I'll never forget that, how awesome my fans
That's
are. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Yeah. It was nuts.
But when you bring dogs, right, to an event and it's like, can you adopt the dog? Why can't you just take it?
Because they have to vet you. They have to vet you. Like, and I'm like, oh, I'll take this dog. But you have to, it's like running a credit check, like to make sure you're serious about this dog.
Yeah.
Because then they'll just get it back. You know, they want to make sure the dog finds a good home. They want to make sure, that, you know, things like that. You know?
Yeah.
Some places look the other way.
Yeah. But I would think
this changes everything.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yep.
This is a nice husky you got here.
I went to a shelter with my kids. We went. During pandemic,
mm-hmm.
when people were getting rid of animals or stuff, or whatever. We heard like, oh, you could save a dog. So we went, and there was this dog. Still to this day, it's like, oh God. There's this great line in Citizen Kane where he's talking about, could Rosebud be a girl, and he's asking his former accountant, and the accountant says it could be. And he's like, but it's got to be somebody he knew and loved and all this stuff. The reporter's trying to find out what Rosebud is. And the guy's like, not necessarily. He's like, how do you mean? What do you mean? And I always remember this great piece of dialogue. I'm going to butcher it, but he's like, I remember being on the ferry and I saw this woman, you know, like in a white dress or whatever. And he's like, for a month, ever since I saw her, there hasn't been a day I haven't thought of her. And I see her and I don't know her. And he's like, you know, it's going on about the impact of just, and to this day, I still remember this dog in this cage. It was this beautiful dog just sitting there looking at me. And I was like, I would love to, there was something that just, I don't know, it's like, maybe I think there's a connection, but the dog could just be like,
get me out.
Know, yeah.
Let me go get this sucker.
Yeah. Just whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Just, you know, it could be having flashbacks from like a horrible Asian family trying to eat it or something. I don't know. But just sat there.
Yeah, yeah.
But my wife was like, no, absolutely not. I'm like, look, it's just, she's like, yeah, I get it, but no.
Well, the first one we bought was Cannoli, and Cannoli was in a pen with a bunch of other puppies at this puppy store. And we were looking, Bessie and I were looking at this other one,
mm-hmm.
and Cannoli just kept coming over and pushing the dog out of the way,
really?
And pulling my hand out of the way.
Yeah.
And then we took the one dog out, and Bessie was, you know, playing with it, whatever, and I just had my hand on the thing, and then Cannoli just came up and just leaned on my hand. And I was like, give me that one, put this one back, hold this one for a minute. And Cannoli just sat on Bessie for 20 minutes. The first dog was yapping, biting around, and the dog just plopped and stayed on Bessie for 20 minutes. And I was like, that's a Gatto pup right there.
Fat,
lazy.
Do you think these dogs, again, in those situations, have the awareness of what's going on there? Of knowing, like, you know, like especially in the shelter, when they see people coming through, do they know, like, oh, it's my ticket out of here? Or you think they're just like, oh, it's just people. And I'm stuck in this cage, and I'm waiting to eat.
Yeah, I think I'm waiting to eat. I think the shelter experience definitely.
But once they leave, they know.
Once they leave, they're like, "Oh wow, what is this?"
Then
I remember the first time that Biscotti like jumped on the couch with me,
right?
Like, and then just like, so I met her in the shelter, and I can't believe to this day I got her because tail between the legs, barking, yappy, really like aggressive on the leash and whatnot. But I just felt it was like so much love, and I was like, "This is a good dog." It was really attached to the one person mm-hmm. at the shelter. We let her play with her. So then Bessie brought down Cannoli,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, "Let them meet." As soon as Cannoli came in, they ran nose to nose. Her tail went up, wagged tails. They started playing together, and I was like, "Okay." I said, "At least I'll have that."
Yeah.
I said, "We'll start from there." So I was like, "All right, we'll take her home." So I go to take her home. Her tail between the legs, at me. You know, I get her on the leash. She's following Cannoli. We get to the house. Cannoli is playing on me, whatever. Biscotti looks, whatever. And then we just go, and I just gave Biscotti her own space. We didn't try to do anything. Sitting there watching TV, I had my feet up, and I have a picture of this. Biscotti just jumps up on the couch, mm-hmm. goes on my legs into a circle, and just lays and falls asleep on my leg.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, she's been my dog.
That's
and I was like, and I was like, that's crazy. And you could just see, like, the dog was like, oh,
yeah.
I could live like this. And it was just instantly,
right. Wow.
It's comfort.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a different experience because the shelters are just so rough. But there is something, too, like when you get picked. Yeah. You feel like you get picked a lot. And that's the problem with me is I've been picked so many times. I gotta stop putting myself in positions where I'm getting picked. Feel like you want to come to this dog event? I'm like, if there are dogs there, if there are, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna get picked.
You're like a hot blonde.
I am a hot blonde.
And then
it's look at this guy. Well, I got a luscious figure. It's like this guy looks like he's a good cuddle.
But dogs humping anything makes me laugh so hard.
Well, that comes from your childhood, right? Your mom got knocked over by a
dog. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You told that story. I love
that. Big dog, yeah. Great help dangerous. Me, Steve. Help yeah. me. I was crying, laughing so hard. Okay.
All right, let's get into
Shall
it.
Shall we indulge?
Shall we?
Okay, here we go. It's coming to us from Turner. What's up, Joe and Steve? Recently, before playing my instruments for an audience, I've been getting really nervous. I don't know what to do about it. I get really nauseous, and I'm starting to panic. I've also noticed that when I have to meet new people or start new classes at school, I will also start to get nervous and panic. What should I do?
Okay, so it's a little bit of social anxiety, which is what it seems like is going on.
But it sounds like he's in a band or performing an instrument, so he's performing...
In front Somehow. Of people. So stage fright on top of social anxiety is going to be a tough mix.
Jesus Christ.
Do something else, man. you're putting yourself out there in front of people. I feel like that goes with time. I feel like a lot of that goes with the social anxiety is a different thing, but let's talk about stage fright first. I think stage fright is you get more confident in what you do, no matter what it is. Anything, not even in front of people, but as just what you're doing.
Sure.
If you get better at it, you get more confident, and that fades for me. And I've seen that happen on people that have been first time doing stand-up, first time doing comedy, first time acting, first time whatever, be this wallflowers and then just blossom into their own once they get comfortable.
Yeah.
So I think that'll go away. The social anxiety thing is you always got to think about what are you anxious about, right? What is the root of it?
Right.
And that's what you got to pull out. So are you not interesting? Are you afraid that you don't have... People aren't going to like you. Are you like, what is it? Because you seem pretty cool to me in the message and self-aware.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think you're right though. I think to distill it, it's one thing to feel nervous, right? And to go in, everybody would
nervous, be, nervous. Yeah.
Room full of strangers who wouldn't feel nervous. So just know everybody feels that way. But I think to your point, to have that moment of like self-reflection and just sit there and think about it and really try to distill, wait, what is it that's causing this? Why am I genuinely like this? And I think then it's a lot easier to address what it is. I mean, we're all insecure. We all, anything you're feeling, we all feel. I mean, for sure. But to your point about stage fright, I think I always, when people are like, do you get nervous anymore? I'm like, imagine platform diving, right? You see the platform that's, 30 feet off the ground from the pool or whatever. And the first 100 times you're doing that, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's nerve wracking. You're going to belly flop. You're going to get hurt. And then the 101st time, you're like, I've done this 100 times.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm going to keep doing it. And I know so it just comes with time. So I understand your trepidation and nervousness and all that stuff, but all that stuff fades the more you do it. But to your point at the very beginning, I know you were just saying it kind of to goof off, but there's probably reality to it too. If you're not enjoying it, don't force yourself to do it. I mean, if you generally want to be an artist or a musician and that's really your goal, then understand there's growing pains that come along with that.
100%.
Absolutely. But if you don't enjoy it and it's not something you want to do, just don't
do it.
Anymore. Yeah.
Stop it. Yeah.
That was a great thing about talking to Q in one of our episodes is just there's just a self-awareness in him that just like things are cut and dry. It's like you enjoy it or you don't.
Yeah.
So I'll do it or I won't.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know, after talking to him, I really appreciated just the matter of fact of it all.
Sure. I mean, it is. It's a good way to live if you can. Sometimes you have to do things you don't and you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Another time when you have the opportunity that you are able to opt out of things you're not enjoying, you should probably take it.
Yeah, for sure.
I will say that when you are nervous or stage fright and whatnot, like the most nervous I think I've ever been in recent times I can remember of, because I'm not a nervous person. I'm not afraid of being in front of people. But for the 100th episode, we had to walk a tightrope.
I remember watching that, yeah.
So I was nervous about the task.
Right, right.
And then I was able to identify what I was nervous about. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do I make this task fun for me? And I was like, oh, I'll dress as Captain Fatbelly.
Right.
So I found something that would be like whatever. Right, and I was right. and then I was, of course, I gave myself the license to be like, look, I'm going to fall.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm going to fall. I know I'm going to fall.
Right.
I'm not worried about heights. I'm not scared of any of that shit.
Right.
You know, I'm going to fall. I don't care about failing or falling. I was like, but I want it to be entertaining because that's what I like to do.
Right.
So I think that little, once I did that, I was like, oh, okay. And I really enjoyed the way that came out and how I performed.
That's really smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
To find
something that's for you.
An avenue that, yeah.
So when you're out in these scenarios that, you know, that you're uncomfortable in, try to find something a little bit that'll give you some comfort. I guess is what I'm trying to say, right? Like, so
yeah.
Try to get yourself a skirty blanket. Get yourself a little blanky-blanky, right?
It is true, but I was talking to a person that wants to do stand-up.
No.
And
don't do it.
Well.
Get out now.
That's usually my initial feeling, right? Is just like.
Especially if they're not funny.
If you really want to do this, it's a marathon, right? But
I think people put so much pressure on themselves. It's just like, yes, you want the joke. You want people to laugh. But if you're not having fun up there, nobody's going to have fun. So have fun. And if you're, again, to the point, like if you're playing whatever instrument you are.
I like to think oboe.
Oboe.
I feel like
Turner
oboe
seems
player.
Like an oboe
player.
Person.
Yeah, an oboe player.
Rock that oboe.
Rock that
have
oboe.
Have fun.
You tear the shit up with that oboe, boy. You get out there and oboe now. Is that an oboe?
Is it oboe when it goes like this?
The oboe does this? Is it? It's a wind. It's a woodwind, right? It's got these. What's an oboe look like, Jiggy? Is the oboe got these?
I think it's got some flappers on it. You know what I'm saying? No, it does,
yeah.
Right?
It does, right? It's a woodwind intro. You got blowing on oboe.
Were you forced to play an instrument?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I got out of that, luckily.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever play an instrument?
I never did. I forced my daughter to play piano and drums. She plays now.
Oh, she does?
She likes the drums, so she started playing them. But then she stopped, and now she wants to go back to piano. So she's like flip-flopping until she finds something.
Yeah.
But I never did. Did you? I wish I did.
I played clarinet when I was like in second grade. Horrible.
That's an odd
choice. Because you're forced to pick an instrument. I was
Well, I didn't go to public school. They didn't force us to do that. Private school kids don't have to worry about that. Get that money.
Okay.
Had to learn about Jesus, though. Let me see if that's an oboe. Yeah, oboe's got way too
Look
many
how
buttons.
Incredibly that. Who invents that?
Oh, Mr.
Look
oboe.
How intricate that is.
Sam Mr. Oboe. Sam Oboe.
Sammy.
Sam Oboe was like, you know what? I'm going to do this to mess with everyone.
Lots of gears and flappers on that.
Crazy.
The flapper count on an oboe is out of control.
I'm counting at least 30 flaps.
If you had that or a trumpet, a trumpet's three valves.
What's the thing that Kenny G played? That wasn't an oboe.
He's a clarinet player, isn't
no,
he?
No, saxophone.
Saxophone.
Who's the guy who does the
saxophone?
That's a long sax. He played something with that looks like an oboe.
Yeah,
he might have done an oboe song.
He does like.
Oh, you know what I do play? I play the didgeridoo now. The Australian. I play that now.
I mean, how can I tell if you're not playing it right?
You can't, and that's why I play it well. I'm actually a great didgeridoo player now.
Well, Turner, good luck to you, buddy. I hope it all works out, and.
You remember? I think that was some sound advice for Turner.
Yeah, but look, like in terms of social...
Hey, good luck with the oboe.
Yeah, good luck with the oboe. Here we go. This is coming to us from Sari.
Don't be
Sari. S-A-R-A-I. Sari?
Sarai.
Okay.
Her last name's Assis.
What's that?
The last name's Assis. Sarai Assis. Thanks for listening to Two Cool Moms.
He loves it. What's one thing from your childhood that you wish you could relive?
Wow, that's a good
question. Sorry, not Sarai. That is a good question.
One thing from a childhood you wish you could relive? Oh, boy.
Wow. That's great.
I think I might be stumped on this one.
That's a really good question. Because you're right, you want to think of something... Like, you want to think of something that was, like, impactful. But I guess what that sparks is, like, what's your favorite childhood memory, right? Go back to that moment.
A childhood memory you could relive.
First time I copped a tit.
I'm thinking of my parents, my brother.
So am I.
Oh,
sometimes I got the titty. No, I will. You know what? The first thing I actually went to was when I got my Nintendo. I remember that being pure childhood joy from both me and my parents, because my parents did the thing where they hid it from me.
Right.
And I opened all my gifts and I didn't get the Nintendo, and it's all I really wanted.
Right.
And then they said, "Oh, Grandma and Grandpa have a gift left."
They pulled a Christmas story.
They pulled a Christmas story on me.
Wow.
And I went over and I opened it up.
Yeah.
And that I remember that moment. It wasn't even about the gift anymore. It was about how much love I felt for my parents and how much I felt loved by them.
Right.
And I was jumping out of my skin. And I didn't even open it for like, I just sat with my parents. And I remember we were on the couch for like 20 minutes talking about how excited I was about it. That was a great moment, I think. That's what, that'd be a really fun moment, I think.
Boy, geez, that is such a tough question. But as I'm thinking about this, I really, if I could relive one thing, I would want to go back and course correct something. Titty?
He's still about copping the titty. Jiggy's just crying in the corner
what
right
now. What is
it, Jig? I don't know. An article popped up today in the news that Arnold Schwarzenegger, quote, deliberately farted in my face. I don't know how you read that headline and not start laughing.
And then what movie is that a still from?
It's a, it looks like it's like a Terminator.
The Terminator still?
Like oh, my God.
Thing, like a 90s movie, but what a funny...
He farted in her face.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, quote, deliberately farted in my face, actress claims. It's one of the best headlines I've ever read in my life.
What is it? The Post?
Yeah, New York Post.
Of course, yeah. It's great.
I'll be backside. All right, next question.
Yeah, Jesus. But if I could relive
oh, you were sorry,
thing
we're
from my
drugs.
Childhood.
Good.
I was thinking of like happy stuff, right? But then I do remember this was pretty impactful.
Oh, you were talking about course correcting. You would go fix a mistake?
I would go fix something. But then again, I was so young. I don't know if I had the maturity to do it. But I remember I was playing ice hockey, and the other team and like their fans were... Look, this is like the 90s, right? So things were a lot different then. There's no cell phones. They were all calling me Chink. Chink, 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 chink. And my mom was just gutted, right? And I remember going home and just feeling like shit. And my mom was in her bedroom crying.
Oh.
And she's like, I should have never came to this country. I should have never had you. I'm so sorry I did this. I'm so sorry. And I just remember her just like, just the pain she felt, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember like just... not knowing what to say, but like hugging my mom and crying because I felt bad for her. And I mean, to know that somebody felt like they should have, they shouldn't have moved here because of that, like
life decision.
Oh my God. And I know you're saying those things impulsively or whatever, but obviously we've gotten so much further and past everything. And, you know, I've taken those things and made it part of my act and stuff, you know, and she's totally fine. But in that moment, that's one of those things where I wish I could have done more as like a...
Well, what'd you do? You sat and held her? You sat with her for a minute?
I sat and hugged her and stuff, but I just wish, you know...
Right.
I had the words to say
how old were you?
Of... I think I was maybe like 13 or 14 or something like that at that time, you know? And you don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't have that in me at that time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but I think we've gotten past. But just that's one of those memories as a kid that, like, you know,
it's a core memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Pretty brutal. But at the same time, like knowing that, you know, and again, and I address this stuff, but everybody has those things.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. I don't care who you are. Everybody listening has had something where you're a kid that affected you, and I think. When you get older, like, you know, those are the things that hopefully you look back on and make you more appreciative of like this experience as people of just like to your motto, just be kind, be kind.
Yeah.
That's it. So I try to instill that in my kids and you know, my kids are my son, especially is very hypersensitive.
Sensitive, right?
Very, very sensitive to
my
kids
son's sensitive too. Yeah. It's interesting.
So I'm glad that he's gonna be.
It's funny, our girls are murderers and our sons are the sensitive ones.
Maybe it's when you have the older sister and the younger brother. I don't know if that's
the dynamic. Yeah,
that's what it is. But yeah.
Oh, Stevie, I wanted a Nintendo and you wanted to comfort your mother. Who's the better mommy?
Me, poor me.
Nobody's thinking that, Steve. When you share, it's fine. You can share on here. Look at the comments below, how everybody's just giving you so much love and support.
Thank you.
Guys, please do me a favor. Make sure you go in the comments, love them below. Give them a lot of love below. Don't, please, don't make me look bad here.
The greatest Christmas I ever had, I got the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. Do you remember that?
Oh.
The 6-foot-long G.I. Joe.
I wanted it. Never got it.
I never even asked for it.
Really?
Because I asked for, like, some G.I. Joe figures, and my dad went all out. Maybe I didn't even think I would even get it, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
But my dad got it, and I opened it. I was like, what? It was the greatest Christmas, and I put it together, and I spent years playing with
that's
that.
That's great.
Years. Even
that might be your affinity, like, of action figures might have came from that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Loved it.
I asked for Castle Grayskull, and I got the Sector's Mountain that was on sale at Kmart. It wasn't even. It didn't do anything. It was a plastic mold that had a hole in the top for a cave that went to the back, and all it had was stickers, like of a computer or of a, like, it didn't do one thing. And my mom was like, "What's the difference? It's the same thing. You can put your toys on it." I'm like, "Mom, this is Sector's Mountain."
Yeah,
and I didn't even have Sectors. I had to play with my He-Man in the Sector's Mountain. Yeah.
I haven't heard Sectors since.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a kid and that thing came out. Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, the cool kids get Transformers, you get GoBots.
That's right, it's 100%. Like, 100%. Yeah, we talked about Laser Tag versus Photon.
Photon, yeah.
We were Photon boys. Yeah.
Okay, this is coming to us from Alec.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Go. Oh, is it that one?
Do you like chicken nuggets?
No.
No?
I don't eat chicken.
Oh, that's right. But back in the day, did you?
We talked about this on the road once. That we think the best sandwich ever was the chicken, the original chicken sandwich from Burger King,
hands down. My favorite thing you could get at fast food, in terms of sandwich.
Yep,
it's that.
Yeah,
I put the chicken sandwich from Burger King. Oh, this is tough. Over In-N-Out, animal style.
I would too.
I love it. I don't eat it as often as I like. I think it is the greatest. They've never messed with it.
Yeah.
Don't ever mess with
it. I love a fake chicken nugget, but I'll tell you what the whole nugget experience has that nothing else has is the dipping. You have so much fun with the sauces you can dip in and give me a ranch, give me a barbecue.
McDonald's barbecue is the best.
Honey,
for
yeah, I don't mind it at all.
Wendy's, I think, has the best chicken nuggets.
I will say that when it comes to the sauces, a sleeper is barbecue for me. I think it's way underused.
Barbecue's the greatest.
I love barbecue sauces.
Chick-fil-A is, I love Chick-fil-A.
You know my last chicken sandwich, last time I ate chicken was Chick-fil-A.
Really?
A Chick-fil-A sandwich I never had. It was on the road.
Yeah.
It was right before Thanksgiving, and I went to the farm, and that's when I gave up meat. And it was like late October. We were on the road, and we drove by one, and Sal was like, "Oh, Chick-fil-A." He's like, I've never had one. And I was like, I never had one either. And then we stopped. We're like, let's get it. So we stopped and got it. And it was a delicious chicken sandwich. I thought it was phenomenal. Yeah. And that was my last chicken.
Isn't that crazy? You went out and
went away, dropped a mic.
Exactly.
I need no more chicken. I'm like you. Why it shut? I'm drinking chicken through a straw. But you had a chance. Oh, you know what? You know what really popped on a scene that felt like bullshit for me was the tender. we have a nugget. We don't need a long nugget.
Yeah, the tender. The tender is almost like the iPad.
Right, it is. It's the iPhone iPad.
Yeah, it's like we got the nuggets.
Yeah.
And then the laptop's like the sandwich.
Right.
And then you got this thing, the iPad. It's kinda, like, I get it, but the tender is.
The tender's got no place.
The tender's like, look, you don't got time to hold three nuggets.
The tender's a tall nugget.
We're just going to put it in one.
It's a tall nugget.
It's like half a breast.
You know what I'll say about this, too? I don't like about the tender versus that. You're going to get sticky fingers because you can't pop them. I like a nugget that you can just pop and be done. You got to hold the greasy nugget, the greasy tender. Not for me.
You know what? It's going to blow your mind. I think this is true. It might not be true.
Yeah.
Oh.
But the chicken tender is actual, like, the piece of the chicken breast. It's the direct equivalent of a filet mignon on a chicken.
Ah.
That's what it is. Like, the filet mignon is the tender of a chicken.
Got it. So the filet mignon is a tender of a chicken. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. It doesn't make any sense, but
yeah,
sure.
Like that's
yes.
But why wouldn't anybody use that as a selling point? Because that, when I hear it like that, I'm like,
changes my whole thing. Oh, of course, I want a tender over a nugget.
I like the filet mignon of chicken.
Yeah.
I also don't 100% know.
Okay, so I love a producer who adds rumor to the instead of he has the internet in front of him. That's, he could have easily Googled it before he opened his mouth.
I'm almost positive.
He's too busy reading about the thoughts of ex-governors.
But you don't. Like, if I'm in front of McDonald's chicken nuggets and my kids are eating it, I'm like, I've got to pop a nugget.
Of course.
I love it. Do you miss it at all?
I miss a buffalo wing.
Oh,
I miss
God,
a wing for buffalo. Sure. I miss a wing like, whoa. Wing is my number one regret to this lifestyle I've chosen.
Yeah.
That prosciutto mozzarella sandwich, a prosciutto mozzarella sandwich I can never have again. These are all things.
You go back and slow-mo that moment because you really realized it. Then you just
I'll never have it again. They try to replace it with, anyway, here's my substitution as a vegetarian. Here, we did it with cauliflower.
Cauliflower
is not as versatile. But cauliflower is not as versatile as people think. When you have a cauliflower pizza, it just falls apart.
No. Anthony's Coal Fire in Florida makes a fantastic cauliflower. It's one of the best pizzas.
If you're
going
to put that next to a regular pizza, the pizza dough, it doesn't hold up. Same thing with.
Oh, you mean the cauliflower dough?
Yeah.
Like
a cauliflower dough or a cauliflower like nugget. Like, it just doesn't work.
No, don't do that.
Cauliflower, let it be cauliflower.
So buffalo wings, the toughest walk away.
Hands down, when I see a plate of wings, succulent, sizzling, and I'm over here with my vegetarian face, being like, what have you done? You've walked away from greatness.
What was the best wing you've ever had?
Oh, my God. I love every wing. I mean, it's kind of hard to mess up a buffalo wing for me, but, I love B-dubs. I thought they did a great bucket of wings. But for me, actually, Hooters wings were great. You do Hooters a lot.
That's what I was going to say.
Hooters is my favorite.
Hooters, people dump on it. It's so great buttery.
Wing. I love a great wing. It's there was actually so a buttery. Pub by my house that used to make one down in Long Island that I used to love. And now I live at the place I used to go during college for Monday Night Football. We used to do wings. And I didn't watch football. I just went for the wings.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is probably my biggest regret in life. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much, everybody. Two cool moms. We are done.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.